30 years ago, think about what you were making. And this one lawyer happened to be on TV one night. He said, you know, they're cutting our wages and they have us down on these starvation wages. The guy said, well, what is starvation wages? He said, well, they've got us cut down to $130,000 a year. 30 years ago. We're cut down to $130,000. He said, that's starvation wages. Hey, I know a lot of people love to have $130,000 a year right now, don't you? Yeah, would be wonderful. But this guy 30 years ago couldn't make it on $130,000 a year. You see? Who can tell whether my successors will be wise or foolish? You really don't never know, do you? You really don't ever know. And yet they will control everything I have gained by my skill and my hard work. You ever stop to think about that? So you build yourself an empire. Let's say you're worth $10 million or $50 million or maybe it's just $100,000. You've worked hard all your life. Maybe you got a house paid for. Maybe the house worth $150,000. And you're getting old. You're 80, 90 years old. You only got 2 grandchildren left. You said, well, I'm going to leave that to my grandkids. They're really good kids. And you have no idea what them kids are going to do with that house when you leave. Do you? No. Well, see, you ain't going to take nothing with you, are you? You're going to leave a few things here, but who knows what who's going to do with what you got. That's why this guy, the writer, Solomon, he's talking, these people, they're going to be wise or foolish. And yet they will control everything I have gained by my skill and hard work. How meaningless. See, as I read these things last night, I thought, you know, Lord, all this money I'm trying to save, you know, the money I got in the bank, I don't have a lot, but praise God, you know, I have some. You know, I've been very fortunate, you know. My land is paid for. My home's paid for. You know, my cars are all paid for. My trucks and tractors are all paid for. I don't have no payments. No, not a payment of no kind. And I got a few dollars coming in. You know, I got a gas well. You know, I got Social Security. You know, so I'm not exactly what you call a poor man. In fact, I'm making more money right now in my own private life than I did when I was working as an engineer. You know, I have to do nothing for it. You know, isn't that good? So, you know, my bank account just accumulates every month. You know, it's really nice, you know, to have a little money coming in. So, you know, I thought, okay, so what's $300? I mean, what am I going to do? I'm going to leave this to somebody. Who am I going to leave it to? What are they going to do with it? You know, if I died tomorrow, what would happen to all the assets that I have? You know, I hope people would use them, you know, right, but I have no idea. No idea. I'm out of the loop when that happens. When we go home to be with Lord Keith, we're taken out of the loop, right? So we have no idea what our whoever's going to get all that stuff is going to do with it. You know? Isn't that amazing? So I turned in despair from hard work. Okay, so I ain't going to work 24 hours a day no more. That's what he's saying. 20 hours a day, sleep 4 hours and work 20. I've done that too many days in my life. It was not the answer to my search for satisfaction in life. How many of you know hard working 20 hours a day is not the answer to life? It's not the answer. Do you know people that do that? Yeah, I've been one of them. I've been one of them. I know. Some of you right there with me. For though I do my work, now listen to this, for though I do my work with wisdom and knowledge and skill, I must leave everything I gain to people who haven't worked to earn it. Isn't that kind of disgusting? To think that if you built you an empire, and let's say you were worth $5 million, and your children, they hadn't done anything, you know, to work for that and to earn it. You know what usually happens when you leave money to people that had no money, that was never learned how to operate and control money? If you leave them a lot of money, you know what happens to it? Yeah, it goes away, doesn't it? Sure it does, because they don't know how to operate it. In fact, my sister and I was talking years ago whenever we were talking about the system, the way they have it in some of the other countries, about the way the communists do and stuff like that, and how they people at that time were saying, well, we need to take all the wealth in America and divide it equally and give everybody the same amount. My sister looked over at me and she said, Thurman, if you were to take all the money in the world and divide it up equally between every human being, in 6 months, those that have it will have it again, and those that don't have it won't have it. Do you know that? That's the way it is. That's the way it is. This is not only foolish, but it's highly unfair. But that's just the way the system is. So what do people get from all their hard work? Their days of labor are filled with pain and grief. Even at night, they cannot rest. You know people like that? That work so hard all day. I got to get this done today. Can't wait. I mean, the world's going to fall apart if I don't get this job done by 6 o'clock. You know, being an airplane pilot, I read a story the other day on the AOP. It's kind of awesome. This young man come to a funeral. He was from Virginia. He come to Virginia, from Virginia to Kansas City, to an uncle's funeral. And then the next day, after the funeral, him and his wife had non-refundable tickets to Hawaii. And so they were going to go on vacation. Well, he stayed at the family a little longer than he thought after the funeral. And so it began to get late, and he was flying a 172, and he was not instrument rated. So he starts back home, and he gets about halfway across there, and he starts running into clouds. And they get thick, and he don't know what to do. And he starts trying to stay out of the cloud. Finally, he decides to call the controller and tell him he's in trouble. So he called Washington and told him where he was. And they asked him, you know, no problem. There's a few thunderstorms around, but we'll vector you around them. We'll file an IFR flight plan. He said, I'm not IFR rated. That means fly instrument flight rules. He said, I'm not an instrument flight pilot. So the controller said, I'll do the best I can to keep you out of the storms. And he was at 7,500 feet. He got the guy within 25 miles of the airport he was going to in Virginia. And he said, I had to get home because tomorrow, if I don't, we're going to lose those vacation tickets to Hawaii. I got to get there. Instead of landing and being safe, and way back there, he could have landed. But he tried to get through that weather, not being instrument rated. And 25 miles before we got there, the controller lost contact with him. The boy lost the airplane, fell out of the sky from 7,000 feet, spun it in, and crashed and killed him. So now I wonder who was going to go to Hawaii with a ticket with his wife. Ain't nobody going. Was that a foolish decision he made? Yeah. Do we make those kind of decisions every day? Yeah, we sure do. Yeah, we're really stupid. You know, we really are stupid. You know, well, I can remember one time that I did that. You know, I wasn't instrument rated either, and I was going down to South Texas in a 150. And this little airport I was going to, I flew into the thing in between the mountains at 500 feet above the ground. You know, the ceiling was less than 1,000 and about 2 miles visibility. It was down in the hill country where nobody was. And I flew that crazy airplane in and amongst them hills to that little airport with no GPS. I didn't even know they had such a thing. But I was just flying the roads. I was flying IFR, all right. I follow roads. That's what I was flying. And I did get in there. But, you know, I got what I was doing there, and then I left that afternoon, beautiful, clear day, when I flew back, and I thought, you know, what a fool. What a fool I was. If I had run into a tower down there or something at that altitude, you know, that I couldn't see, I could have crashed and got killed, or maybe killed somebody else. You know, we make some stupid decisions, don't we? Well, it is all utterly meaningless. So I decided there is nothing better than to enjoy food and drink and to find satisfaction in work. Okay, should you enjoy your meals? Yes, you should eat good stuff, good food, good drink. Enjoy it. You know, learn to do what I've learned to do. I am always the last one through at the table. I certainly have learned to enjoy my food. I don't eat fast. When I go down to sit down, you know, I eat slow. I like to chew my food good. I like to taste it. I like to feel it. You know, I like to swallow it knowing that I had a good bite in my mouth. I don't want to just shove it down and get in and get out. I'm a slow eater because I enjoy my food. And when I drink, I mean, I fix Cheryl now a cup of hot tea sometimes two or three times a day. And I'll drink that, sip on it. You know, I love hot tea, you know, but I like to taste it. So the Lord says, I should do these kind of things, and there should be find satisfaction in work. Now, can you find satisfaction in your work? Yes, sometimes you can work hard and you can work diligent, but when you get through with what you're doing, it should be something that is good, something you can be proud of, something you accomplished. You know, look at it. See, what did I do here? You know, I mean, did I accomplish something? I'm going to clean the house today. You know, well, I ain't going to just flippantly go through here and pick up this, throw this under here and throw this here. I'm going to clean this place. So when I back off, look at this, I'm going to say, wow, Lord, you really done a good job on this house today. I mean, it looks beautiful. In fact, I fixed this so nice, Lord, I'm ready for a visit from you today. If you want to walk in that door and sit down with me, Lord, I can feel good about my house. It's so nice and so clean. I fixed it for you. Be like the little guy that the Lord spoke to him and said, I'm going to come to your house for dinner tonight. He heard that. Man, he said, God's coming. Jesus is coming by my house. He goes out. He wasn't rich, but he had a little bit of money. So he goes out and buys stuff. I mean, he brings it back and fixes this dinner. I mean, he's got it all ready and everything. And he said, now, Lord, I'm ready for you to visit. And I knock on the door. He said, that's the Lord. He run up, it's a little old woman that didn't have enough clothes or nothing else, and it was cold outside. And she said, sir, I'm so hungry, and I need a Coke. Can you help me? And he thought, good grief, if I bring her in, feed her, I might miss the Lord. So, okay. So he brings her in, sets her down at the table, let her eat some of the stuff, and then he gives her a nice coat and kind of shoves her out the door. And then a little while later, the knock, he said, that's the Lord. And another little man was there. He was poor. He needed something to eat. And he needed some clothes. He said, oh, good grief. So he said, okay. So he brought him in and fed him part of the rest of the food that was there. And gave him a coat and shoved him out the door.
We're going to have to stop right there for today. But we'll start again tomorrow with the teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website. Or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.